The message today comes from the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, page 1049 of your in your pew Bibles or on the screen. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord.
I think each of us has an idea about what life is going to be like. You know, when I was younger, I said, like when I was 15, I said, "You know what's going to happen to me? I'm going to get a job, probably a trade." I thought about being a tool and die maker at the time. "I'm going to get a job and I'm going to make decent money. And then I'm going to meet someone pretty, and we're going to get married, and we're going to have a family. And all these kids are going to be cute, and they're all going to be healthy, and they're all going to be smart. And they're going to grow up as my sweetheart and I get older, and I'm going to retire and travel. And then I'm going to be very old, and my heart is going to start giving out, and my family will gather around me and bless me as I quietly slip off into eternity." That's my plan. That was my expectation. So far, I've been pretty close. Didn't become a tool and die maker, but I did get a good job. And I did meet my sweetie, and we did have children, and they are good looking, and they are smart, and I love them. So far, so good. Now here I am in middle age, starting to get grandchildren. It's nice. Grandchildren, good. And I think maybe the rest of my life might go as I had planned. I might just get old. I might just develop a weak heart when I'm super duper old and my children and grandchildren surround me and bless me. Maybe that's going to happen. But I've been a pastor long enough to know that that script varies. And sometimes the story of our lives takes directions that we don't expect. Sometimes people get ill, way too young, and have to fight and struggle to carry on. Sometimes these relationships that we're in, whether it's between husband and wife, between parents and children, between brother and sister, between friend and friend, implode. And it becomes terrible. And there's acrimony and anger and bitterness and harsh words and deep, deep pain. Sometimes it happens that a person goes into work, think everything is good, and then the boss says, can you, come into my office, please? Even though you've been a good worker here for 30 years, the market's changed, we're downsizing, and I'm laying you off. And you think, what in the world am I going to do now? How can I retool myself for this new world that I'm suddenly in? Things happen to us that shake the foundations of our lives, that make us worry, that make us fear, and make us quake in our boots. My life, in some dimensions, has been really good, but there are dimensions of my life where things have gone completely off script. And there are things in my life that I grieve have happened. Every one of us, I think, could say, yeah, that's my story too. Yeah, things haven't gone in my life exactly as I thought or hoped. Yeah, I carry the wounds of those disappointments or betrayals or tragedies. These circumstances of life have made me afraid. The Bible story that Pauline read for us from Mark chapter 4 is a remarkable, beautiful, familiar, and powerful vignette from the life and ministry of Jesus Christ. If you look at the very beginning of chapter 4, you see the whole chapter 4 is a teaching session that Jesus had. In the morning, he was in this place, and there was immense crowds of people. And so Jesus got in a boat, went just a little bit offshore so that he could speak to the crowd that was gathered on the shore, probably a bit up on the hillside, and could teach them, explain the kingdom of God to them, let them know the desire of their Creator God for them. And all day, Jesus talked and taught from that boat. We have recorded for us in the Gospels a few of the stories and the lessons that he taught. He did this all day, so there's lots of things he said that were not recorded in the Gospels for us. But there were all these beautiful, powerful things that he said. And when the end of the day came, when it was starting to get dark, when night was falling, he said to his disciples, "Let's go out to the other side of the lake." Now, I'm a preacher. I stand in front of you, and I've stood in front of other assemblies and taught from the Word and tried to explain the things of the kingdom. And it's tiring. Not looking for a pat on the back, or I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but it's true that when the service is over, and many pastors that I've talked to have said this, that you feel exhausted, well, drained at least, after an hour of leading worship, of having to strive to faithfully explain what this means and apply it to life. I have the blessing of this thing. I can just talk. I'm just talking normal. And even you folks in the back corners can understand me. And I don't have to yell. If I had to yell to make myself heard by you after an hour, I'd really be wiped. Jesus, for a whole day, sat in a boat not built for comfort, talked to this huge crowd, and had to pretty much holler the whole day so that they could hear the words that he had for them. And Jesus was exhausted. Sometimes wondered, you know, that Jesus was in this boat, and we hear that a storm came up, and that the disciples had to kind of shake him awake. That, man, you're in a storm. The boat's going, and Jesus is asleep. Well, I think that the poor man was so exhausted from this whole day of having to preach and teach and shout so that people could hear, that he was absolutely done. Anyway, Jesus said, let's go across the lake. And they did. They started. Interesting, these little things that are in this story that we don't even notice. It says in verse 36, they took Jesus along just as he was. I mean, just as he was? What does that mean? I think it means exhausted. And then they went, and there were other boats with him. We have the idea, the mental image of this boat, and they're not big boats. Like these boats are that you see on the slide are typical of fishing boats that were used on the Sea of Galilee at the time. There was like a little flotilla of boats, a mini armada of fishing boats that were taking Jesus' disciples across the lake with Jesus. We think of Jesus having 12 disciples. He did. They were his core group. But there were many more disciples who were also part of his retinue. People who would come along, and there's a time in one of the Gospels that says that he sent 70 disciples out to be witnesses and to teach the people. There was quite a group of people that traveled along with Jesus, and this whole group were people who were in these boats traveling across the lake. And then in the dark, in the night, crossing the lake, there came a storm. Storms on the Sea of Galilee were not unusual. From what I read and understand, that there is a pass through the Judean mountains where the wind comes through, and if it comes through just right, it's like a funnel that concentrates the power of the wind, and winds can pop up just like that and turn the seas into places of great challenge. Well, in the night, they were crossing the lake, and a storm came up. But the text says more than a storm. It uses a word that is really more like a hurricane. This storm was unusual. It was fierce beyond experience. It was a nightmare of a storm, and they found themselves in great peril. It also uses the word megale. It means tremendous. That word means tremendous. So it was a hurricane, but not even just a hurricane. It was a tremendous hurricane, a megale hurricane. And the boat was being battered. It says in the text that the waves broke over the boat. But again, this is, I think, why they force us to learn Greek when we're in seminary. It says that these waves, it's almost an anthropomorphism. It's almost like they make these waves living things. And it says these waves were beating on the boat. The waves were punching the boat, were attacking the boat. The boat was the victim of these waves that were threatening to destroy it, or cracking the ribs of the boat. And these men, who were experienced fishermen, many of them, were very afraid. And there's Jesus in the stern, on a cushion, sawing logs, dead asleep, like he didn't have a care in the world. And then in verse 38, Can you go back to that, Stephen? Back one, another one, another one, another one, that one. Jesus was sleeping on a cushion in the stern, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care?" What did they expect of Jesus? They expected him to be freaking out just like they were freaking out. Act like you're afraid, like we're afraid, Jesus, because we're all going down to the bottom. Don't you care? And when we live through our own storms, whether it's a storm of broken relationships, whether it's a storm of illness, whether it's a storm of death of a loved one, or whatever that storm is for us, for you, for me, don't we say to Jesus, "Jesus, don't you care? Here I am going through this, the mighty hurricane is boom, 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 pounding me. The waves are threatening me, and I am so afraid. And where are you? Where are you, Jesus? Sleeping in the back of the boat." I understand those disciples. I understand those words. I have asked Jesus myself those words, and I bet that you are just like me. That in your time of trouble, in your travail, you have said, "Jesus, don't you care?" Well, in the story, in the passage, Jesus woke up, looked around, saw the situation, saw the power of the waves, felt the anger of the wind, and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And the wind died down, and the waters became calm. That is a display of power. That is a sign of his authority. Jesus had the power, the authority, to say to the wind, to say to the waves, "Cut it out now. Be still." Jesus has the power to quiet the storms in your life. He has the authority to bring peace into your life, which is being tossed up and down. We don't know how every situation is going to end. Clarence and Renee, you saw your much-loved son-in-law, Les, suffer and die from that terrible cancer that he had. Many of us have had similar experiences to that. What Clarence and Renee told me was that their son-in-law, Les, who is a man of faith, had peace as he drew near to the time of his going to be with the Lord. That doesn't make sense from any kind of human perspective. It only makes sense when the Spirit is there and Jesus is saying to him, be still and find peace. It is a wonder what we can survive, not even survive, what we can go through and come out with eyes of faith open and hearts blessed by being comforted by God. It's really interesting. I said to you before that that storm was a hurricane megale, a tremendous storm. In verse 39, right there, thank you, it says, then the wind died down and it was completely calm. What it actually says is, it was calm megale. Exactly the same word. Just as tremendous was the storm, so tremendous was the calm. And if that storm was the result of evil, and I think that it was, I think it wasn't just the storm. I think it was the devil trying again to derail Jesus and his disciples. As tremendous as that storm was, so tremendous is the calm that is the gift of God in Christ when we receive his word of power and blessing. We have a calm. We have a peace. We use the words that passes all understanding. We have a calm that is megale, tremendous. Tremendous to the nth degree. The disciples saw what Jesus had done. And it says they were terrified. Interesting that in the storm, even though they thought they were going to die, it doesn't say that they were terrified. But when they saw the power of Jesus to calm the storm, to break down the wind, to let the waves settle, then it says in verse 41, next one, Stephen, that they were terrified. They were terrified, not by the storm. We're going to die. Well, you know what? People die. Yeah, we're going to drown. Too bad, so sad, but that's what happens. But when they saw what Jesus did and the power that he demonstrated, then they were terrified. Because they didn't yet know all the things of Christ. They didn't know that he was the one who was going to bear away the sins of the world. They didn't know that he was the one who would die but rise again. They didn't know that life to all who trust in him would be guaranteed forever and that he was good. They weren't sure about that. They just knew that Jesus had power. Power beyond their imagining, beyond their experience. When we see Jesus calming the storms in our lives, we should not be terrified. Because we know the rest of the story. We know what happens. We know by the grace of God, by our perspective in history and in the process of salvation, that the victory is Christ and it is extended to us. And it is mercy that he has this power. And he is good and uses his power for our good as well. So who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? Who is this? It is Jesus Christ. It is your Lord and Savior. It is the one who gives you hope, the one who never abandons you, who is always there, and will bring you to the place of safety, into that good harbor, for sure. So let us not be afraid, and let us trust in Him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do have storms. You know every storm that we face. You see us, and you're with us as we're sitting in these boats. Now you see the winds, and you recognize the waves for what they are. We ask you to speak your words of power over us. We want to hear from you, Lord. Peace, be still. So that we, in that moment of tranquility, in that megale calm, may give you glory. Help us when we are in the waves, when the wind howls around our ears, when we do cry out and ask you, do you care? And remind us again how much you do and how good you are. Lord God in heaven, hear the prayer that we say in that powerful name, that good name of Jesus, our Messiah, the Savior. Amen.